And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 17. You know, we started studying the situation with the Samaritan woman at the well last week. And we just got started. We just did a summary. But before we go back to that scripture in John chapter number 4, according to the principle of first use, we need to go and look and see just who were the Samaritans. What was the problem Jews had with Samaritans? Why did this woman react the way she did when Jesus asked her to give him drink and give him water? What's the backstory? And the principle of first use brings us to 2 Kings chapter number 17. We're going to read a bunch of scripture today. We may not get a whole lot done but read the scripture, but we will read all of this scripture because it gives us the historical context for who the Samaritans really were. Chapter number 17, the book of 2 Kings, beginning reading with verse number 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land, and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, and carried Israel away into Assyria, and placed them in Hala, and in Habor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Verse 14, Notwithstanding they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even 2 calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. We're going to stop there for just a moment. We're not done. We're not done reading. But folk, when it says Judah only, that's because Judah included others. Judah, Benjamin, Simeon, and Levi were all part of the kingdom of Judah. We're talking about that, and that's what the Bible's referring to. Israel here is the northern tribes. You can go look, and there's two tribes of Manasseh. There's the tribe of Ephraim, and then seven others. And I'll let you remember those yourself. They did not follow the Lord. They went after the other gods. God was done with them, and God removed them, and now they're not there anymore. Verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelled in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt at Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwell. That's the first use of the word Samaritan right there. That's the first time it's used in the Word of God. The Samaritans had made. And you see what's going on here. We're going to continue reading. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord and made themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, which with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, Ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. That's the entire chapter. Now, That was necessary because this gives us the background of this Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman tells Jesus, our fathers say we're supposed to worship the Lord in this mountain. And, you know, Jesus could have really put her down on this. He could have really gotten angry. She didn't know any better. She didn't know any better. See, Israel did know better. Israel was given the law. Israel was given the statutes and the ordinances and the commandments. Israel, salvation is of the Jews, Jesus tells this Samaritan woman. See, the Samaritans, they were worse off than the Israelites had been. They didn't say the God of Israel, they said the God of the land. Back in that day, they believed gods had territories, not people. And see, that's the difference between the gods of the world and the God of Jacob and the God of Christ. That's the difference. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal God. He's a God of people, not land. He's a God of the heart, not of the field. He's the God that takes care of individuals, people. He saves people, not property. He saves individuals, not possessions. He is not the God of the land of Israel. He is God of the children of Israel. And the Samaritans did not get that. They thought he was the God of the land, not the God of the people. And that's a big difference. And so they were taught by a priest at Bethel. And Bethel, of course, Bethel was where Jeroboam had set up one of those idols, one of the golden calves. And it was about being the God of the land and fertility rights and not an individual Savior to whom they weren't individually accountable, see. This is where it gets really, really hard. People claim to fear the Lord, especially around Christmas time. We just got through Christmas day itself, and I know some denominations of the Christian church will have 12 days of Christmas, and that is beginning on Christmas Day and ending on Twelfth Night, which is the night before Epiphany, which is January the 6th. And that's the day that some of these denominations take as being the visit of the wise men, amongst other things. They also celebrate the baptism of Christ, among other things, at the same time on January the 6th, Epiphany. That's the way that's worshiped. But here on Christmas Day, we Christians are often guilty of fearing the Lord and serving the gods of the world. We say we fear the Lord. We claim to be worshiping for the right reason. We claim to be making Jesus the reason for the season. And yet, we're serving idols. And yet, we're worshiping a myth. And we can do this with no, seemingly no cognitive dissonance. You say, that's a fancy word. Yeah, I know it is. Have you ever heard me say, I don't always agree with everything I've ever said? I've said that a few times. Cognitive dissonance is where you believe two things that are mutually contradictory, but yet you still believe both of those things. They don't match. Fearing the Lord and believing in Christ and believing in Christ's birth being the reason is at odds with what the world puts out there for commercialized Christmas. Commercialized Christmas is an idol-worshipping activity. I'm sorry. It just is. Worshipping idols, worshipping the gods of the land, doing things to fit in. People do that. People will see what other people around them are doing, and they're going to do similar to them so that they don't stick out and don't get ridiculed. That's the way people are. And this time of year is the time that people really, really forget that Christians are supposed to be peculiar people. They really forget that Christians are supposed to fear God and worship Him alone. Unlike the Samaritans, who feared God, or they said they feared the Lord, but they continued the worship of their own gods, trying to appease both, trying to have a foot in the world and a foot in Christianity and belief, not Christianity, but a foot in the worship of the Lord, of the proper Lord, the Jews' Lord. They tried to have a foot in each. And these days, too many Christians try to have one foot in Christianity and one foot in the world, and they try to walk that way. They try to walk that way and straddle a fence. And it ain't hard to straddle a low fence. When there's not much difference between the church and the world, it's pretty easy to keep one foot in each. There ought to be a higher fence. It shouldn't be possible to straddle both. Pick a side. Are you on the world's side or are you on Christ's side? These Samaritans, they weren't Jews. God was not their God. The Lord was not their God. They pretended that He was the Lord of the land. And the Lord sent lions. He sent lions. How dare they come in to the land that He had promised to Israel? Israel was being chastised. Very severely chastised. But that did not give these Samaritans the right to take over. And so they were trying to appease God, but they were not worshiping God. Oh my. And this is why the Jews, the ones who were in Judea at the time, this is why they and the Samaritans had virtually no dealings with each other. By the time of Christ, it had been a long time. It had been several hundred years since the Assyrians had taken Israel out and put the Samaritans in. And the Samaritans had been there. They'd been there a long time. They'd been there about half as long as Israel had actually been in the land. Israel was in the land for several hundred years after the Exodus. But they were not doing right. They had not done right. And now the Samaritans possessed the land. Did it still belong to Israel? Yes. But God took them out. And in the case of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, it was permanent. Judah would be the only one who would actually come back. Judah would be the only one who would actually regain the land because they repented. The northern kingdom was a different story. It was a different story. And folks, it's a sad story. It's a sad story, especially when Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. But the Samaritans didn't get it. They feared God, but they worshiped their own gods. Now, they thought they were serving. They thought they were worshiping the Lord, but they weren't. They were doing things the way their God's worship was, but instead of their God's names, they were substituting the name of the Lord. God is not worshiped that way. You worship God His way. Whatever way God says to worship is the way you're supposed to worship. It's not about the rituals. It's not about the exact thing that you think you need to do. And that's, unfortunately, the history of Christmas as being on December 25th has that. That was the Roman church put that in place, and it was the feast of the Saturnalia first, and there were other things. Sol Invictus is one of the titles of the solstice, and the celebration of Christmas in the Roman church originated as, oh, we're just going to add the name of the birthday of Jesus to this holiday, and we're going to keep doing the traditions we've always done, but instead of calling it this, we're going to call it this other thing, and it's going to be about Christ instead of these other things. And folk, I'm not downing the celebration of Christmas, not at all, not at all. I'm just saying what Jesus said. God is a spirit, and he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. He's not worshiped like other gods are. You don't worship him the way you worship other gods. You don't worship him just any way you want to. You've got to worship him the way he wants to be worshiped. You've got to do things the way God wants them, not the way you want them. And as we end this year, 2025, we need to keep it in mind that God is peculiar. The people of the Lord are supposed to be peculiar, and we're supposed to do things differently from the world. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're in the world, but not of the world. And we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as we go into 2026, keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. You can't just worship God the way you want to. You need to worship him in spirit and in truth according to his worship ordinances. And the Lord gave those commandments. The Lord gave them. I'm not talking about the law. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about what God told us through Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and then what the Lord sent through his Apostle Paul in his letters, along with the Apostle Peter, the Apostle James, and the Apostle John. These things should be what governs our worship of the Lord today. But we got to worship him in spirit and in truth, not like we would worship the gods of this world. It's hard to believe that it's already been a year. Here we are at the end of 2025, getting ready to go into 2026. And you be praying much for this podcast, that the Lord will continue to use it according to his will. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing to broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that address, broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week, next year, for the I Want to Know More podcast.